Arizona lawmakers worked through the night over the holiday weekend to pass a nearly $12 billion budget, one that drew criticism from Democrats and many teachers involved in the Red for Ed movement. But one group that argues the budget should be applauded is the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. I sat down with the head of that group, Glenn Hammer, to talk more about why.
The business community across Arizona gives this budget extremely high marks. And the reason is simple. As you mentioned, it funds the rainy day fund at $1 billion. So it will be protected much better than we ever have been when a downturn comes, which we think will be many years in the future. But we love the tax provisions as well. We've done something we haven't done since the 90s, and that's reduced the number of tax brackets from 5 to 4. We've doubled the standard deduction. We've decreased the top marginal rate since probably around 2004, 2005. All while making the very important investments in education, transportation, and healthcare. We have met our sacred commitments to make sure that we're giving our teachers the 20% pay increase. This is installment 2. So from the business community standpoint, this is a excellent comprehensive budget.
We'll get into education in a moment, but when it comes specifically to the tax question, what are your hopes here? Like you say, this kind of improves the tax picture in Arizona. Does this mean more businesses will want to come here? Does it mean you'll be attracting a different type of business?
Arizona's tax code was very competitive before this. What this does, though, is that the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry, we were the number one cheerleader in the business community for the federal tax changes, the Federal Tax Reform and Jobs Act. What this does is this smartly conforms with that act. As I mentioned, it doubles the standard deduction. So probably about 90% of Arizona taxpayers are just going to very simply fill out their form without having all of the brain damage that generally comes during tax season. For our businesses, our small businesses, the reduction in the top overall tax rate will be helpful, as will reducing the number of brackets. One additional point, we also do a very important reform. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled that online sales taxes should be collected. This budget includes a fix to the issue of online retailers from out of state selling goods to Arizonans, but those taxes not being collected. It's called the Wayfair fix. That is a really big deal, and I applaud our legislators and the governor for getting a very good conclusion to that very important tax issue.
So you talk about lowering the tax rate with this budget. What do you say to Democrats in the state legislature who have said that this amounts to a $300 million tax cut or more, and that is money we could be putting into things like infrastructure, like education?
Well, it's really tax reform. And the reason why is because the way the federal tax law is constructed, it lowers tax rates all the while decreasing deductions and increasing the standard deduction. So the federal tax law simplified things for most Americans and provided tax relief for small businesses as well. What we would say is that this is not really, it's not really a tax cut. It's really to prevent the additional revenue that would otherwise be collected if Arizona didn't change its law. But what we love about this is that it does it in a very, very smart way that simplifies life for probably 90% of Arizonans and makes our tax code all the more competitive when it comes to the small business side of the equation.
Often conversations about attracting an educated workforce to the state, about attracting businesses to the state, end up being about the education system, right? About proving to people that they want to live here, that we have the kinds of schools they want to send their kids to. And this budget, though it does add a lot to education, still leaves our education K-12 system as one of the lowest funded in the country. Do you think that we need to do more to fund that in order to attract a better business community here?
Well, I would say this. In terms of the plus-up investment, it's $700 million. The so-called Invest in Ed, which would have destroyed small business in this state, they scored their proposal, which would have been very economically destructive, at $750 million. So basically, here you have $700 million of new investments into our K-12 system, into our university system, and our community college system. All the while we're able to do tax reform, all the while we're able to get our rainy day fund up to $1 billion. Why? Because the economy is rocking and rolling. And I would say that we will continue to be able to make additional investments in education, and we will support those investments, but we will do it in a way so that our economy can continue to grow so that we can afford those increased investments.
I also want to ask you about SB 1451. So sure. This is the bill that creates several new requirements for paid petition circulators to put a measure on the ballot. The chamber has been very supportive of bills like this that would add some restrictions to the voter initiative process. Why do you think this is important?
Well, first of all, let me just say we strongly support the voter initiative process. And I'll just say I admire citizens who go out there and try to change law. That's admirable. The issue comes down to when this becomes a situation where for-profit company, and we love companies making dollars, but the issue is that there have been a lot of instances where people have been filing signatures who shouldn't, who have faulty records. And this is very common sense. What it does is it would prohibit identity thieves and people like that from engaging in collecting signatures. There's other things that they can do, but they should not be involved in our electoral process.
Critics, though, would say that this is a, you know, a thinly veiled attempt to kind of toss out valid signatures, right? Like, you can forget to include a circulator's registration number on a form, and the whole form gets tossed out, including all the valid signatures that may have been on it. What do you say to that?
Well, the focus of this is really on going after people who have no business being in the petition signature business in the first place. Yes, we do have strict compliance, and that was through some other reforms. I think it's important for listeners to realize that let's think about the voter initiative process as sort of it's another form of lawmaking. If you're in the state legislature and the House and the Senate pass a bill and one bill is missing a T that is completely irrelevant to the bill cannot be transmitted to the governor. So we should have high standards when something is going to change law permanently in this state.
You've mentioned the Invest in Ed initiative several times now, and that was one that was tossed out because of, some would say, technicalities like this. So this, to you, is not about going after or restricting or making it more difficult to get things on the ballot for voters.
I think most Arizonans would agree that people who have been convicted of identity theft should not be out there hustling and trying to get signatures for a ballot initiative. And this does not affect one bit volunteer signatures. And I would bet the farm that we're still going to see ballot initiatives, citizen initiatives on the ballot in 2020, even with these new common sense requirements.
All right. Glenn Hammer, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.